You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The Athletic.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is showtime. Please welcome the team of the Fulhamish podcast.
It's the Fulhamish podcast, your independent voice of Fulham FC. My name's Sammy James. Welcome to the show, brought to you by The Athletic UK. And in today's podcast, a final word from Sunday's defeat to Coventry City at Craven Cottage. We're going to look at the first proper transfer rumour of the summer, Manor Solomon. We'll be getting Jack's thoughts on Manor and what impact he could make at Craven Cottage if he signs. We're going to discuss about the Luca Murphy compensation to Hartlepool, a full Easter weekend preview, and stick around for the end of the podcast. Live This'll Catch On, that we recorded on Sunday from the Half Moon Putney, and it is absolutely magnificent. Great moment, actually, for me to bring in my guest today. Jack Collins, hello.
Hello, mate. Hello, listeners. How are we? We all good?
Fine, thank you. Yes, a little bit of all change on the Thursday club. First of all, because it's being released on a Wednesday. Second of all, no Peter Rutz there today because he's feeling a little bit under the weather. So it's just Jack and I, hashtag
he spent,
old
he spent
times.
Literally like 2 hours with you and me, and then he was just like, I'm ill now. So
yes.
I don't want to think about what that makes us, but alas, here we are.
Yeah, he just very much needs a week off after plenty of Sammy and Jack over the weekend. And Jack, am I overblowing it by saying that I think that the live This'll Catch On that's at the end of this podcast is one of the best things we've ever done? Is that overshooting it?
I had a great time. Let's put it that way, right? I had a really, really good time. We had some crowd involvement, crowd participation. We had Charlie Cooper picking between classy. It was just a really, really lovely little segment of anything, really, and a really nice thing to be involved with. So, yeah, Sunday was quite special. Obviously, result accepted, but it was nice to have a group therapy session afterwards. Obviously, most people listening to this will have already listened to the parts one and two in Monday's episode. But ultimately, we got round and we all had a great chat about Fulham, and it was a good laugh as well. So already looking forward to the next one.
Yeah, and I was very sad that you couldn't actually be on part one. I feel like some people might have think that I've like snubbed you or something. You initially said you couldn't go, then last minute you were like, oh, I now can go. I was like, oh, I've kind of given your place away. I'm really sorry, Jack, but I did enjoy the lines of, I used to be on this podcast not once but twice. You got a couple of laughs from that whilst you served everyone.
Anything for a cheap laugh, Sammy. Anything for a cheap laugh.
Whilst you served everyone either pints, baby Guinnesses, or in my case a lime and soda. But obviously one thing of you not being on the podcast from Sunday, Jack, was that I never got your thoughts on Coventry. You actually were there. Not a game to be fondly remembered, neither game against Coventry City a game to be fondly remembered this season. I was just interested to know your thoughts on it after having a few days to kind of mull it over.
It's a strange one, isn't it? Because obviously we were probably the inferior team for maybe, I don't know, not the first time this season, but there hasn't been too many occasions where Fulham have been the worst side. And yet, I can't help but come away from that game thinking we probably, in another day, get a point. And I suppose that's a good thing. I'm not completely sure, if I'm honest, but I suppose it's a good thing that sometimes, even when we play, you know, as badly as we did, especially the first half, you know, things can just turn around. And Fulham, how the goalkeeper saved that Mitrovic deflected shot when he was already going down to his left and clawed it out, I will never know. So, I mean, look, fair play to him. And obviously he got booked for time wasting. You know, teams are going to do that to Fulham. That's ultimately, anyone who's beating Fulham is going to play those odds. They're going to play those margins because they have to, right? Because ultimately, man for man, Fulham are a better side than pretty much everyone else in this division. And look, Coventry seemed to have our number. I thought Callum O'Hare was the best player on the park. And interestingly, his role to basically sit on Nat Chalobah and prevent him from playing meant that the kind of Chalobah's role became quite difficult. And I've got this strange theory that Chalobah was maybe behind Tim Ream, Fulham's best player in the first half. Thought he was the only one that was snappy in the middle, the only one making challenges in there. And he kind of is that physical dominant presence that shields the back four. And allows Harrison Reed to snap around, to fly around him. I've peddled this theory hundreds of times now that I think that Silva's doing this because I think he sees that more defensively minded pivot as a key element if Fulham are going to survive in the Premier League next year. Now, I think he's going to bring in a third player in there to replace Fabio. I don't necessarily think it will be quite the same kind of 10 that plays exactly as high up. But I do think it might be someone who's more of that kind of 8-10 hybrid, the Conor Gallagher mold. And therefore, I think he's trialing this to basically see what it looks like for next season. However, I think that that's a mistake for Marco Silva in this game. The Chalobah, I thought, was fine. But ultimately, if you're going to have a player that's going to be pressed by their number 10 in that kind of manner, you need to have someone who's comfortable with the ball at feet and comfortable breaking the press. And Chalobah isn't really those things. What that is a Jean-Michel Seri, right? And look, I completely understand if Silva is looking forwards already. I mean, obviously, there's still a couple of things to do. But I think, you know, we've been saying when, not if, for a long time now. And obviously, we'd love to win the league. But if Silva is thinking ahead already, is starting to plan for what his team looks like next season, is trying to get into those kind of mindsets, I can understand why, considering the lack of turnaround last time that Fulham had going up to the Premier League. And therefore, that kind of trying to make this as long a summer as possible in order to be ready and set when this happens, get those extra couple of weeks on whoever wins the playoffs, get whoever those extra couple of weeks on the end of the Premier League season as well. You know, it's 3 weeks on top of that. If you win the championship or you come in second, those are massive moments. And obviously we're starting to see transfer news already, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. Look, it was a bad day at the office for Fulham, right? We were poor. We were a little bit sloppy. There were mistakes kind of from everyone. You know, even Tim Ream at the end, who'd had an excellent game, is the man who gives the ball away for the third. Are we still a little bit unfortunate not to come away with a point? Maybe. And I do think that's kind of forgotten in the fact that the performance was poor. Obviously, we're so used to seeing us dominate games and be the better side. And then if you lose games of the better side, it's frustrating. But you can come away going, oh, we're the better side. We weren't the better side on Sunday. But ultimately, if we'd grabbed a point, or if that Mitrovic shot goes in with 10 minutes to go, do Fulham go on and win the game? Very plausibly. So look, it's an aberration in some ways. We do need to get better about with teams who play that 3-4-1-2 shape or 3-5-1-1, if you will, because I really think we struggle with teams who press us aggressively, and that's going to be a thing next year. So that there's things to be learned from it. But ultimately, it just kind of is what it is in many ways, I think. And we'll look at it as one to write off. I think if we score early against Derby, it could be an absolute drubbing, just as a kind of kickback from that moment. So we will see. Unfortunately, Mitrovic isn't going to score against every team. Does mean we need to win every game now to the end of the season if we're going to break the 100-point barrier, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
I think maybe there's room for one more slip up, but it can't be a loss. We're kind of playing on the edges here in terms of those manners, but ultimately we know that the main job is done. Now, that doesn't mean that players can go on the beach. It just does mean that we kind of have to look forwards already, and I can understand why Marco Silva's trying some things. So I'm not going to completely blame him for being outcoached.
I just wonder if the only motivation now for this team, because there's no one chasing us, there is no real pressure from underneath unless we absolutely collapsed. And even then, it probably is still enough for Fulham to get top two, is defeats. I feel like the defeat at West Brom resulted in what we saw at West Brom and Middlesbrough. Fell off a little bit against Coventry, and I wouldn't be surprised if that's motivation then for Derby and Preston. I don't think they need any extra motivation for Bournemouth, but those last three games of the season, which are really, really hard, Forest, Luton, Sheffield United, especially if we kind of win the next three, and the promotion would 100% be in the bag, the title would pretty much be in the bag too, those games could, well, they could get messy, because they're probably the three hardest fixtures I can think of this season. And we're going to have nothing really to play for other than maybe 100 points. And all three of those teams 100% have something to fight for.
Yeah, I completely agree. 100% agree. I think it's one of those things where, you know, ultimately we've got some really tricky games coming up now. And if we don't pick up those things and the 100-point mark becomes impossible, it's just going to be a thing of, can Fulham win this league in some style, right? The players will want to, especially towards the end of the season, especially in those last home games, put on a bit of a show because they deserve the plaudits that will come their way with that. Do you know what I mean? Like that last performance at home against Luton, if Fulham lose 2-0 before you lose, you know, lift the trophy, the atmosphere is very different, I suppose, to if you, you know, you thump someone at home and it feels like a party. And I suppose that's maybe the last thing is that, you know, they've worked so hard across the course of the season. They've been the best side across the course of the season. How do you then, from there, you know, not allow yourself to take the plaudits that you've earned for 8 months, you know, and ultimately that's what Fulham have to do here. They've got to turn around and be like, nope, we haven't gone to sleep. We are here to see the end of this season out and you know, earn your places next year as well. You know, there's that element to be thing. And, you know, we talked about it a little bit at the weekend, but I don't think it's a coincidence that Marat Rodak's performances have fallen off a cliff in these last two games since Fulham have been linked with Nick Pope and Alphonse Areola returning and, you know, these Premier League keepers coming in to be first choice, because I think that has to play with your head. Now, I'm not saying that that's a good or a bad thing in any kind of way. I think that maybe Fulham do need to upgrade it in those areas, you know, unless Rodak can step up and show that he's capable. But at the moment, you know, you have to be able to deal with, one, that pressure, two, competition, and three, if you're going into the Premier League, you know, the way to prove yourself and the way to answer your critics, if Fulham are being linked with other players, is not to drop two clangers of performances. It's to, you know, to go out and play out of your skin for the last eight games and go, you can't drop me. I'm too good. I've been the key cog here. You're not dropping me. It's not to fall apart mentally and have those moments. So look, I'm not saying that that's a long-term thing. I'm not saying that Rodak should be dropped. And he was saying, oh, no, those things, because he's been excellent this season. But I do think that if that is the root cause of why these two performances have dramatically fallen off, then there's a bit of a concern there, because that's got to be a mentality thing.
Yeah. All right. Let's look at the transfer rumour that came about yesterday. And Jack, this looks like a pretty solid rumour. It's from John Percy of The Telegraph, who is always fairly on the money. If he's tweeting...
He's always on the money with every Midlands club, especially Aston Villa. If John Percy, I've got a couple of Villa mates, so they're like, if John Percy tweets it, it's true.
Well, he has said that Fulham are looking to bring in Israeli international Manas Solomon from Shakhtar Donetsk. He is an attacking midfielder, mostly plays on the wing. As far as I know, the deal's worth approximately 7 million, which seems like good value. I guess that's slightly taking advantage of the situation that Ukrainian football is obviously not going to be happening anymore. And there are a lot of players in the Ukrainian and Russian leagues who will be desperately trying to find new clubs. And that means there's some bargains to be had. I'd be lying if I say I know a huge amount about him, but I know he scored some big goals in the Champions League. He's notched quite a few goals for Israel. He scored a particularly good one against Scotland in the Nations League, Jack. I saw people saying that this is a Carvalho replacement, which to me doesn't feel right. From the little I know of Manas Solomon, he does not look like the same player as Fabio Carvalho.
No, although he will deal with the problem that the loss of Carvalho leaves Fulham without a ball carrier. Now, Harry Wilson does it a little bit, but he's not necessarily a player who will pick up the ball on the halfway line and drive you forwards 30 yards. Manas Solomon is that player. He'll pick up the ball and he will look to go direct. He will look to go at players. He will look to dribble with the ball. He will look to carry. I like this a lot, but he's not a Fabio Carvalho replacement directly. I would say that Manas Solomon is coming in to play on the left wing. And ultimately, that's where he's featured the most for Shakhtar and for Israel. He has played centrally. He can play in that 10 role. But I don't think that's where we're going to see him in this Fulham side or under Marco Silva. I really like Manas Solomon. I like this deal a lot. He's very small is the only thing. He's 5'6". And I say that as someone who's 5'7". but if someone's smaller than me, the chances are they're diminutive, shall we say. But he's quick. He's got an incredibly low center of gravity. He can shift the ball beautifully around defenders. He's a lovely footballer in terms of, you know, what you imagine a traditional you know, tricky little attacking player coming in to be like. And he scores good goals. He's not, you know, the most prolific finisher in the world, but he's equally capable in front of goal. He likes to cut inside. He likes to create chances. He's a lovely footballer. And look, there's some interesting things here is that he can get frustrated and has got frustrated at times when his team don't have the ball and where he's not getting the ball. And that's the only slight concern I'd maybe have with it is that you've seen, especially in the Champions League, where Shakhtar are often the inferior side, see him, you know, throw his hands up in the air and, you know, not temper tantrums. It's not quite that bad, but, you know, he gets a little bit all over the place. He's like, why am I not getting the ball? Why can I not get involved? And I find that quite interesting because if Fulham are, you know, going to play in a reactive way next season, it does mean that our wingers are going to see less of the ball than they have this season. But for £7 million, or there or thereabouts, at 22 years old, for a player of this caliber, he was on the radar of Arsenal last January, on the radar of Leeds United last summer. Now, there are plenty of Premier League teams looking at Manus Solomon. He was linked with some big moves across Europe when he burst onto the scene as well. I think this will be a very, very sensible move. I like it a lot.
Good. Well, that's encouraging to hear. Yeah, especially, you know, I think Fulham now are trying to go down the route of young, cheap, get them on a deal, grow them. You know that Manus Solomon, if we wanted to sell him in 4 or 5 years' time, no matter how well he does, is probably not going to go for much less than 7 million, or you're certainly not going to, and even if he does go for free, 7 million is a huge amount to write off over such a long period of time. I'm basing this on not a lot, Jack, but I wondered if there's a shade of young Anthony Knockhart in there.
He shoots less, far less.
Okay.
It doesn't look necessarily for that cut inside and bang it, which was kind of the hallmark of Knockhart's game. But definitely in terms of, you know, trickery and ball carrying ability, I would say that there's shades of it. But no, I think he's a better player than Knockhart. He's, you know, played at Champions League level. He's played comfortably at Europa League level. I think Manus Solomon would be taking, you know, obviously things are difficult with Shakhtar at the moment, and the chances are that they're not going to start their next season. So I can imagine that things are, you know, not as simple as they might be. But I would suggest that Manus Solomon will be taking a step down to come and join Fulham. Now that's,
but he gets a chance in the Premier League, which
which is caveated, right? Like, obviously, lots of people take a step down to get to the Premier League from where they were in Europe or what they're wearing in terms of like a pan European football. But Shakhtar, at the moment, or, you know, up to Christmas, let's say, were, you know, a side, yes, they came bottom of their Champions League group, but they're a side that are regulars in the latter stages of the Champions League, the Europa League. They're a good side. They're, you know, relatively
the best side I've ever seen at Craven Cottage, to be honest.
The best side I've ever seen at Craven Cottage, but like, also they're usually, or they're there or thereabouts, you know, as Ukrainian champions, it's usually them or Dynamo Kiev. You know, ultimately, he's a side that he's been used to winning silverware and getting into European competition. So this is going to be a slight change of, you know, plan or a slight change of scenery in some ways. But I do think we'd be picking up a very talented young player.
Cool. Well, it sounds very, very exciting. And we will see in the summer, no doubt, more rumours to come. But as Jack said, that advantage of the Championship finishing 3 weeks before the Premier League, and obviously Fulham pretty much having it in the bag right now. It's a good 2 month advantage, even on some Premier League teams, because although you'd imagine now that probably no more than the bottom four really are going to be worried about getting relegated. And even after this weekend, Everton looking a bit more solid, but that's still an advantage that we have on some of the teams at the bottom of the Premier League. We know that Fulham very, very likely to be in the Premier League next season, which is good. Right, yeah. Part two, we're going to look ahead to Easter weekend and quickly discuss Luca Murphy.
This is an advertisement for BetterHelp, a portal for finding online therapy. How's your social battery right now? If you feel a bit drained or lacking enthusiasm to meet all the social commitments in your life, then that can be a totally normal thing, especially with things picking up as we head out of winter. I know that pretty frequently a weekend just doing a few chores and watching the football was about the limit of my energy resources. But therapy can be a place to help you gain the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your batteries. Contrary to popular belief, therapy isn't just for those who have experienced major trauma. The overall goal is to empower you to be the best version of yourself. And if therapy is something you've considered, then why not give BetterHelp a try?
BetterHelp is entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. They'll match you with a UK mental health professional with a wide variety of expertise. There's no referral needed, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge, giving you complete control over the whole experience. Fulhamish listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/fulhamish. That's betterhelp.com/fulhamish.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Part two of the Fulhamish podcast. Sammy James here with Jack Collins.
Yes, yes. Hello, listeners.
This will catch on still to come and an Easter weekend preview. Let's talk about Luca Murphy. Hartlepool United released a statement yesterday. Luca Murphy, a young player within Fulham's academy. And in January 19, Murphy agreed at the age of 17 to join Fulham. Fulham agreed a fee for the player, following which he was given permission to spend a period at Fulham. Fulham then withdrew the transfer, stating that the player hadn't met standards, and Murphy returned to Hartlepool. Immediately upon return, the previously exemplary scholar's behaviour changed markedly to such an extent that it led to a mutual termination of his contract in March 2019. And then within 11 days of that termination, this is all according to Hartlepool United's website, by the way, Murphy signed a two-year deal at Fulham. And then Fulham subsequently, according to Hartlepool, refused to acknowledge that any compensation was due. And that remained the case for years. But Hartlepool have now won a six-figure sum with compensation in respect of Luca Murphy. And Jack, I just thought that this paragraph from the Hartlepool chairman Raj Singh was particularly interesting. I am, however, bitterly disappointed at the manner in which Fulham have conducted their business. As a club, we did everything we possibly could to resolve this amicably for 3 years, and we've been ignored, seen delays, and had technicalities thrown at us throughout. At the final hour, Fulham even looked to offload players to us that they didn't want as an alternative to paying the compensation. The compensation is probably a drop in the ocean for a big club like Fulham, but is a large amount to Hartlepool United, which at the time was a non-league club. It was also withheld during an incredibly difficult period that included the COVID pandemic. That approach literally could have sent our club to the wall. And I think we come on this podcast and we talk about, oh, Fabio Carvalho, he's been pinched by a bigger club. Harvey Elliott, yep, he's been pinched by a bigger club. Fulham also are more than happy to be big fishes in little ponds. And I can't read that and think, not great.
No, I can't. Obviously, we're taking this purely from one side because Fulham have refused to comment.
Yeah.
I don't know what that says, to be perfectly honest. I don't think it's great. But it just does, it leaves a bitter taste, doesn't it? We've complained about Harvey Elliott. We've complained about Fabio Carvalho. And it looks like we're doing exactly the same thing lower down the chain. Now, maybe that's a very much, we've seen people do it to us. We're going to do it to other people. But I don't think we can complain as fans about these things happening and then look at this and not want to criticize it. Now, again, we've only heard one side of the story. So, I mean, if Fulham have a different side to this story, then I'd love to hear it publicly because, you know, at the moment, this looks like pretty cut and dry that Fulham are in the wrong. And, you know, I obviously wasn't alive in the period where Fulham were struggling to survive and struggling to, you know, to get things paid. And there were all these horrible moments about Fulham Park Rangers and all of the above. But, you know, we're a club that less than half a century ago were in dire financial straits ourselves, where we were pulled out of the mire by people, you know, who were by fans and by people who invested in the club. And at that time, you know, I feel like Fulham probably should have learned a lesson that you don't do things like this to small clubs who are up against it financially, because we've been there and done it. Now, obviously, the people from that era are not really there anymore in the boardrooms and in the top brass and all of that. But you've got to be looking out for other people. I mean, I came on here last week and talked about the fact that we should be looking out for each other, right? We've seen football clubs go to the wall in the last couple of years far too many times for me to feel comfortable about something like this, about the whole, you know, the way that it was conducted. And yeah, it leaves a bitter taste. So I, you know, unless Fulham have an alternative side of the story that they're willing to publish, it's going to have to go down as an own goal, as far as I'm concerned, as a black mark. And hopefully it's something that, and the fact that we have been forced to pay compensation is something that, you know, gets the club's head out of the sand in some ways. And they go, right, that's not on. No one wants this. You know, Fulham, we see ourselves as a family club, don't we? As a club that, you know, people like, the neutrals like. And you can see the responses to this. And, you know, again, it doesn't matter what other fans, you know, fans think of Fulham, as we said last week. But, you know, all the responses to this from the thing are Hartlepool fans going, hope they get relegated next season. I mean, I don't know if that's the club we want to be. Maybe it is. But, you know, from where I'm standing, it's probably not.
I think you, again, nailed it on the head, Jack. I haven't got too much more to say, but from that one side of the argument, it looks pretty cut and dry. And look, a judge has agreed with Hartlepool's case. And so therefore, it's about as black and white as really any argument can be once it's settled in court. So yeah, I don't think it reflects particularly well on the club. And I think as fans, I think next time we complain about Harvey Elliott or Fabio Carvalho, we do just have to remember that we are also doing it to other clubs
as well, yeah,
lower down the food chain. So don't know if there's too much more to be said. The full statement is on Hartlepool United's website. Let's look ahead then to Easter weekend, Jack, and what an exciting position to be in as a Fulham fan. Two games, Derby, Good Friday, 8 p.m. Thank you, Sky Sports. And then Preston North End on Tuesday at 7:45. The latter one moved, we believe, on the request of both clubs for a bit more recovery time, similar with the Coventry game. We don't know that for a fact, but it's not been moved for the telly. Jack, Fulham should achieve promotion this weekend one way or the other. It's still, if Forest win both games, then Fulham need to win two to get promotion. But Forest playing Luton in the lunchtime kickoff on Friday, which is a very, very difficult game for Forest. Not impossible for them to win, but certainly more difficult than Birmingham City, let's say, last weekend. So yeah, we've got to be excited, really. Two games away from promotion, and I would like to believe we can get it done over Easter, which would be nice.
Yeah, it would be nice. And there'd be something quite, well, I'd imagine romantic. Obviously, there's been a bit of a fairy tale around Derby this season, right? And the fact that they were given those points deductions and they nearly stayed up. There was plenty to like about that story. They now find themselves 9 points off Reading in that last save spot with, obviously, 5 games to go. So if Reading were to win and Fulham were to beat Derby, it would pretty much seal Derby's relegation. Now, I think there'll be something quite sweet in that for some people because of what happened in 1983.
Yes.
Now, obviously, it's well ahead of my time. But there is, you know, a famous game where Fulham went to what was the baseball ground. And basically, they went to win promotion to Division One and were denied there by Derby, basically 1-0 down. The game was invaded by home fans with about a minute and a half left on the clock. But to be honest, it was there were people on the sidelines getting involved with the game for about 20 minutes. From what it says, you know, there was basically players getting kicked. I think it was Rob Wilson.
He got tripped up by a fan. Have you ever seen anything like it, really?
I saw something like it this weekend.
Yes.
Because there was a bloke in
Spanish lower tiers. Yes, with the manager.
The manager came on and stopped the counter-attack. But it does feel very similar. But yeah, basically Fulham lodged an appeal. They wanted to have the game replayed, which should have been relatively normal these days, I think. And they basically were just like, no thanks. And Fulham didn't get promoted. So Derby leave a bitter taste in the mouths of a lot of Fulham fans. And I know that playoff win, well, the playoff semi-final win a couple of years back meant a lot. Because of the history there. So, I mean, look, to go and potentially seal promotion and to confirm their relegation at the same time, I think would be quite sweet to a lot of older Fulham fans who had to deal with those shenanigans from Derby. Look, their club are close to the wall. It looks like they are going to get an investor. I'm not particularly sure he's a particularly stand-up guy, but such is life.
I mean... they haven't exactly had many stand-up guys before, but with some of the way they acted under Mel Morris, but yes.
No, but, you know, ultimately it is what it is. We hope that, as we were saying, you know, just before, you don't ever want to see a club go out of business. You never want to see a club, you know, take into administration, down into the grounds. We've seen it happen before. So hopefully that doesn't happen to Derby. Let's be clear. But I do know that this will be a sweet one if Fulham do manage to relegate them for some of the older generation who remember that game in May 1983.
Yeah, and there was definitely a point, I think, in December, January, where it looked really possible for Derby to get out of
it. It was
going to
be Reading, and I was kind of into that.
Yeah, Reading were in free fall. Derby were winning games, and it did look like they actually could pull themselves clear. But since then, just lost too many games, particularly away from home, really, to stand any chance of overcoming the 22-point deficit. Jack, if there has been one saving grace for Derby this season, it has been their home form. They won against Preston a couple of weeks ago, 1-0 at Pride Park. They beat Barnsley 2-0 a couple of weeks ago, where Ravel Morrison scored an unbelievable goal. They also beat Peterborough, they beat Hull. They've beaten lower half sides of late, so it's not necessarily going to be easy. But this Derby side have been picked apart all season. They've been losing good players hand over fist, but they did a great job of cancelling us out back in November when they came to Craven Cottage. We should have won that game. We were without Alexander Mitrovic, but we missed a hatful of chances. I think, as you said at the top, I think if Fulham score first, this could be big. But if Derby go ahead, they're going to be right up for it, because they'll have a sniff, and it's only a sniff of a great escape.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just where it is. And obviously, when there's hope, there's always going to be, you know, a side attempting to get through it. And what that does mean is they have to probably come for us a little bit, which should play a little bit more into our hands. And ultimately, that if this game opens up, you expect Fulham to, you know, to do the damage and to come back off the back of that loss at the weekend and be like, no. This is our league to win, and we're going to win it. So there's those things to consider. I think that Fulham probably should win this game. As you say, Derby have things to play for. They have a great escape. It would be a very great escape. Still, you know, possible, if not probable. It will be tricky, and it would be a mistake to write this off as an easy one. But Fulham ultimately need to go and prove a point, I think, over this Easter weekend, and just get these two games done and get the kind of automatic promotion sealed. And then can kick on from there. So it's a big test in kind of mentality terms, I think, for Fulham. And that should be interesting.
Yeah, I'd like to see a switch up in the midfield. I don't know if you agree. I'd like to see John McElserry get on the pitch, ideally, from the start. I think that I don't really understand why he wasn't used in that Coventry game, as you mentioned. I feel like the Reed Chalobah pivot worked against Middlesbrough. It did not work against Coventry. I don't think it was necessary either. And we don't exactly know what the fitness is with TC, but of course, it would be nice to see him back in the lineup.
It's always good to see the skipper.
And then Preston on Tuesday, Jack. Again, another one I look at. They've been shocking away from home. They're quite good at Deepdale. They caused us a lot of problems earlier in the season in that match. Probably could have won it, although really shouldn't have even got a draw, because Ched Evans decided to break the rules of football in about 17 different ways, score his equaliser back in November. But they had our number in the second half, 100%. I don't think it was an undeserved draw for Preston, but it was undeserved in the circumstances they actually managed to get their equaliser. But I just look at their away record and think, come on, lads, this is one where you can put it to bed. This is the weekend where Fulham can just get to 89 points, promotion done, looking ahead to the title, looking ahead to Bournemouth, and we can just focus then on achieving top spot against Scotty Parker's side.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, you've got to be careful of their front two, who are both excellent, I think. Emil Reese came in, I think, last summer, and Cameron Archer came in on loan from Aston Villa, and he's been a phenomenon, to be fair. He's scored an absolute hatful in the League Cup for Villa in the first half of this season. They sent him out on loan onto the Championship, and he's been absolutely brilliant. He's a very, very good player. I really hope he has an Irish nan. He's 7 goals in 15 games for Preston so far since joining January. It's been, you know, I think it's very good. I think he's a very good player. And I think that there's plenty to be excited about from Cameron Archer. I think he's going to be a Premier League forward. So there's one to watch. Emil Reese is a very, very good player as well. They're quite different. But I think they both have the potential to be 20 plus goal strikers in the Championship right now, with more of a ceiling, I think, on Archer. So yeah, it's very exciting for Preston. They seem to have cheered up after a bad start to the season. Ryan Lowe appears to have sorted them out a little bit, but you're completely right about their away form. And, you know, Fulham, again, it kind of doesn't matter who we're playing, right? You know, Fulham should be winning these games because effectively we should be better than pretty much everyone else. That's why we're top of the league. But, you know, there's players to keep an eye on as much as there is, you know, it's reason to be excitement, but hopefully Fulham can seal it at the Cottage. That would be nice under the lights. You know, everything would feel quite pleasant about that, I think. So, you know, fingers crossed.
Yeah, indeed. Right, we're going to take a break there. Afterwards, you'll be hearing our live rendition of This Will Catch On from the Half Moon Putney. So enjoy. Welcome back to the Fulhamish podcast, a special live rendition of This Will Catch On at the Half Moon Putney. Yay! So this is from our live event on Sunday, but it's in the Thursday podcast, a live version of This'll Catch On, everybody's favourite feature on the show. And I'm joined today by Jack Collins.
Hello, listeners.
The one, the only, Dominie Betts.
Hello, hello.
And Charlie Cooper.
Hello.
Sammy, we said we'd never let Dom on the Thursday Club. That was like the flat rule.
No, I was out on one just because I was the only one who turned up to Blackburn. Yeah,
he was allowed on the Blackburn one because he was the only one that made the trip and it felt bad.
But to be fair, I did see Peter at Preston Station and then I was absolutely hungover and didn't realise it was in for about 2 minutes.
You say that like it's a novelty.
Yeah. Also, I love the use of the word hungover there.
Yeah.
Still drunk.
Yeah, standard, isn't it?
Charlie, how aware are you of This Will Catch On?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay, well, welcome along. So This Will Catch On is a very daft section of this podcast that we started about 6 months ago. Effectively, a need was addressed. We were sent a lot of emails of potential chants for Fulham songs, and I didn't really know what they expected of us. But I thought, okay, let's play a few of these. It developed, and then people started sending in actual voice notes of the songs being played. And it's probably become the best slash worst part of the podcast. Jack has an existential crisis every time we do it.
If anyone sent in a song about a pool, I will actually throw myself off this stage.
And to date, Charlie, we've only had one success. But it's quite a good success, because you might remember this.
Sen Mitrovic and Niskin playing black and white, scoring goals all night, play the championship work shite. Hey Wilson, Mitrovic and Niskin playing in black and white, scoring goals all night, Made the championship work shy.
I've got a theory about this.
Yeah, what's your theory?
My theory is it's off this, right? If you can make the first note of any chant last for a long period of time, your chant will catch on. Because if you can just go, ha, everyone just joins in.
The story of that song is brilliant. It was on the bus home from the Medeski Stadium to Reading Station, and George Cooper, I was with, was like some sort of like Simon Cowell A&R man, and he heard this group of about six lads singing it. He was like, those guys, get your phone out. We recorded it and it became a sensation. So that's the only one that has caught on out of dozens that have been sent to us.
Right. You'll find out why quite quickly.
So what we have today, Charlie, Dom and Jack, is six chants in This Will Catch On that have been sent in. And all we have to do is give it a bit of a rating of how likely it is to actually catch on. Okay?
Brilliant. Yeah.
So the first one is from Danny Baker. Is Danny Baker here?
Yeah, we've definitely...
Not that Danny Baker.
It's Dom's mate, isn't he?
Yeah. Oh, God.
Can't
beat
Kelly and Baker. Great bunch of people.
Great radio show. Anyway, maybe a little song for the podcast. My son Archie, who is 10 years old, wanted to do a song for This Will Catch On. So they sent it in this, and it's for Nico Williams. So see what you think.
Oh, Nico Williams magic, he wears a golden boot. And if Tosin lays him through, he'll smash it in the roof. He scores with his left, he scores with his right. Marco Silva's Fulham team makes the championship look shy.
Right. Hang on. Is Danny here? Is Danny here? No? I've got a question for Danny. Is this my 10-year-old son, Archie, or... Did Danny write this and make his 10-year-old son, Archie, get involved so he didn't look as weird?
Possibly?
I just know that Archie doesn't know the words and Danny clearly does.
Charlie, a rating for Danny and Danny's son's song. It's a 10-year-old, so, you know.
In that case, yeah, rubbish. it doesn't do it for me, really. I think it's the conviction in the voice. It's just completely... I'm not sold, sorry.
Thank you, Farrell.
Has Farrell just delivered you a water? You've had enough.
I've had enough. I'm driving. Boo. Okay, so we've gone for a 0 out of 10 for Danny and his 10-year-old son.
Bit harsh. I'd say a 5.
Okay. Yeah. Danny and 10-year-old son, thank you. Maybe need to get the kid with a bit more conviction. But...
Or maybe just let Archie write in.
Danny, we love you. Thank you for sending it in. All right. Song number 2. This is from Jared Griffiths. He said, I've decided to assist Matt in his quest for a Chalabar song and appease Jack the Syllable Police with this. It's a rendition of A Horse With No Name by America.
He's already on a 6.
Love the pod, been listening since the beginning, and it's by far my favourite. Well, you would say that, but thank you. Sincerely, a man fortunate enough to deal with Tony Khan for 2 of his favourite professional sports teams, and that's from Jared. So, let's have a listen.
He's sat in the middle and he'll cause you some pain. In fact, he'll play you right out of the game. The announcers... we'll probably butcher his name, so we'll sing it loud now just to save them some pain. Chalabar,
Live this will catch on takes a new meaning, doesn't it? Dom, your thoughts on that?
I mean, any tune, any chant to that song is perfect because England have one. So,
okay, who for?
Just England. We all follow England wherever they play. Don't care if it's home or away. We're England and we're proud of our name. And we're all bounce around and we'll sing it again.
That's absolutely dreadful.
Oh, so like every other England chant then?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Don't worry, you're the one that goes away with them, not me.
No, but any chant to that song, you don't care about the words to the actual chant. You just get to the chorus.
Yeah.
Then everyone just gets excited.
So. A bit like the new Marco Silva one as well. Only the chorus is good. Charlie, your thoughts on A Horse With No Name for
really,
Chalaba?
Really, really like that a lot.
Yeah.
Can we hear it again?
Yeah.
He's set in the middle and he'll cause you some pain.
Sorry, just pause it there. Does it sound a bit like a wasp in a jar? Really weird. Play.
He's set in the middle and he'll cause you some pain. In fact, he'll play you right out of the game. The announcers will probably butcher his name. So we'll sing it loud now just to save them some
Let's
pain.
Let's have it.
There is one issue.
Yeah.
Most Fulham fans can't deal with a chart that long.
Most Fulham fans can't deal with the chart
the chorus
in time.
Is fine.
No, the chorus is fine, but it's like, I mean, we just about lost the Harry Wilson, Mitrovic and Niskin song. So, I mean, getting one with like an entire verse is going to be quite hard for Fulham.
Also, we haven't got to the point that there is a line in here that's like, the announcers will probably butcher his name, which is absolutely classic, but also completely untrue.
Yeah.
Very few people have an issue with the word Chalaba.
Yeah, but we've got a player where commentators butcher a player who's got two syllables.
That is true, actually. Fair play.
Yeah. Or Adarabi Yo-Yo or whatever.
To be fair, that one is actually a bit more difficult.
Yeah. Speaking of, that's the next chant.
Excellent.
This is from David Schmidt. He says, "Hey guys, I dig the podcast and look forward to the commentary. I live in a small Midwestern US city and have converted two people to Fulham watchers." Well done.
To be fair, I think we could have told he's American when he said dig the podcast.
Yeah, when he said dig, I was like, American.
Shouts out Tesco, every little helps and all that.
Yeah. Anyway, here is a submission for Tosin, who has been excellent since joining. He wrote that before today. It's to the Star Wars main theme.
Oh, no.
He said, "Every time I hear the submissions on the pod, I have this in my head for the next 10 minutes. Apologies for the sloppy singing. It's short, it's sweet. When done, rinse and repeat. Regards from David."
Bloody hell, I thought I was the poet.
Yeah. Brace yourself.
Tosin Adarabayo, Adarabayo, the cottager's king.
That's it.
Say it again.
Reload.
Tosin Adarabayo, Adarabayo, the cottager's king.
What do you say at the end?
It's the cottager's king.
It just sounds like me coming back from a night out.
Yeah. It very much could have been, to be fair. We don't know.
Ask my dad, he just sat just there. Yeah.
quick ratings.
Oh, I'm afraid that's going to have to go down badly. We'll give it a 4.
Tom?
Give it a minus 1, maybe?
Charlie?
A 3. Lacks imagination, yeah.
Sorry. We're going to get any more Fulham fans in the Midwest if we keep up with this attitude.
His mates are probably like, "Nah, you're all right, mate."
I can't believe he's convinced two people. He's just stood there in the pub shouting at them.
He's thought it's all right to actually send that in. He's heard that. Like, yeah, that's an absolute
banger.
Yeah,
but that's the kind of thing you would do after a night. Yeah. Like you say, after a night out, you'd be on the phone like, "Really? Like, shit, I sent that in." Yeah. Sammy's going to play that at a live event.
Yeah. Poor David did not count for that being played in front of 100 people. Right. Finn Whittaker has another one. Again, for Tosin Adarabayo, he's very popular and this will catch on. "As per the subject, I have a nice and simple chant for Tosin. It embarrasses me that I'm even having to send this in. But it's easy to remember, so maybe it can catch on. It's to Sugar Sugar by the Archies." Okay, we ready?
oxytocin, do 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 do. Oh, Adrabio, do 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 do. He is my centre back, and he's Fulham through and through.
That doesn't rhyme.
That's it.
You have to go again.
Tosin, do 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 do. Oh, Adrabio, do 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 do. He is my centre back, and he's Fulham through and through.
It just doesn't work.
Can we workshop it? Because I actually think this might work.
I feel like I'm doing hymn practice here. I sing it first, and you guys sing it back. You know.
No, but surely we can workshop this. Can we get a final line that rhymes with back? Like, preferably, and then
the
we'll
first
be...
words that come to mind are not good.
I'm not having that conversation. Yeah, hang on. There we are.
Turns defense into attack. That's quite.
Fulham's resident yeah. poet.
Shock, there's a songwriter in the room. Yeah. Okay, Finn, there's your homework. Yeah. Re-record it. Come back to us.
Come back to us. Yeah. Thanks, Finn.
Any ratings, just quickly, Charlie?
Yeah, I quite liked it. A bit of a Mike Skinner vibe to that. The streets. Really like the delivery and tone. Yeah.
Dom?
I think it's decent. It was so good until the last line.
Yeah.
And I was like, where is that come from? You're like, let's do the entire song and then, oh, let's make it just not rhyme in the last bit.
Score?
I'll give it 6.5.
Jack?
It's a 7, but go and fix it.
Okay.
Just make it work.
Come back.
It actually might catch on. Just make it work.
Right. Second to last one. This one is from Timothy Clark. He said, look, this one lives or dies on whether or not anyone else calls Kenny Tete Kung Fu Kenny. So to the tune of, unsurprisingly, Kung Fu Fighting by Carl Douglas.
Wow.
Here is one for our Dutch right back.
Everybody loves Kung Fu Kenny. Assists are many. Although we still miss Danny. We all love Kung Fu Kenny.
Great harmonies, to be fair.
Yeah. Honestly, the kind of the call and response from the audience is mesmerising, isn't it?
I'm having a great time.
Charlie, Kung Fu Kenny?
He's not bad. 7. Yeah?
Yeah. Dom? Would you call him Kung Fu? I don't know about... I mean, he kind of does kick it a bit like...
Where's Farrell Monk when you need him? He definitely calls him Kung Fu Kenny.
There's a certain breed of Fulham fan that would call him Kung Fu Kenny, and Farrell Monk is very much that.
So I don't think it's bad, but... So compared to some of the stuff we've heard on This Will Catch On before, it's probably quite good.
I mean, the bar is there, isn't it? Like, it's extremely low.
And the bar's out there.
Yeah. Very good. Very good.
Clearly touché. One too many once again.
Touché. Jack, quick rating.
Oh, I quite liked it. Also, my granddad once famously sang this at Christmas at karaoke, and he got me into Fulham. So any song to Kung Fu Fighting famously gets a high rating from me. So it's an 8.
It's frankly. An 8. There we go. Right, this is the final suggestion. This is from regular contributor Jimmy Hall, and is for...
You can't have regular contributors on This Will Catch On. Then people are like, well, that one didn't work, I might just write another.
Jimmy did Livin' La Vida Silver, if anyone remembers. Is Jimmy here? No, Jimmy's not here.
Boo.
I did meet him at Hull Away, and he was like, I'm the guy that sends you all the charts. I was like, hello, mate.
Yeah. Also, were you like, go on then, give it a go.
Stand on the bar. This one is for Rodrigo Muniz to the tune of Rasputin.
Hang on, how many have we had to Rasputin?
Quite a lot.
At least a third.
This is at least a third, but this one's quite good. Right, this has got music as well. So I think it's this button. Nope.
If someone writes one to that, though, instant win.
Yeah, actually, that's a shout. Someone needs to do that.
This is another wrong button, by the way.
I really hope it's not.
Yeah, we are. We're going to need some volume, though.
Fulham's Brazilian.
He came from Flamengo. He was big and strong, and he has an eye for goal. Defenders looked at him with terror and fear. Next to Mitrovic, it's enough to end careers. He plays football like he's playing FIFA, trying bicycles all the time. But when Rodrigo scores another screamer, hear the crowd go wild. Whoa, whoa, Rodrigo, we love it when you score a goal. He's from Brazil and he plays for Fulham. Whoa, whoa, Rodrigo dances when he scores a goal. Rodrigo Muniz, you are the one.
That is it, six. Wait, it's just way too long. Most of our fans just don't have the capacity to remember a song.
Mate, most of our fans haven't got the capacity to sing in time between one end of the Hammersmith end of the next. Like,
we can't even sing Take Me Home Alfie in time. So I don't know about that catching on. It's a banger, but
I mean, I enjoyed myself. I don't know about you, Charlie. No.
Sorry, that completely lost on me, that one. Totally.
Boney M. Rasputin.
Moon is, right? What's he saying about him? Is he scoring, like, puts fear into defenders?
Yeah. Only of Stoke City, but not much else.
Again, we do sing that we're by far the greatest team the world's ever seen. I don't know if, truthfulness in songs is massively important.
It is for me.
Yeah, not for me.
Not for me, Clive. Okay, Jack?
I have to be honest, I think that's the worst Rasputin chant in the three we've had. And I like the other two, so here we are.
The final way to end This Will Catch On, I think, is with a classic. So, Charlie, I was going to give you the choice here of two of the best This Will Catch Ons, or at least the most memorable This Will Catch Ons.
Maybe
since
we should play them both.
Should we just play them both? Okay, which one?
Hang on, let's get Charlie to choose a winner.
What? Okay. From the ones we've just heard, right?
No.
Scrap those. These are two of the best that we've had on the podcast so far.
And by the best, Sammy is loose.
It's a very low bar.
Okay. Would you like, first of all, from Justin Miller, Mitro in Open Space? Or from Ishan Mahabir, We Dream of Reem?
Let's go Mitro in Open Space. Let's see that.
All right. Mitro in Open Space, Justin Miller.
Harry Wilson comes down the right. Your defender's not by his side. He's got a target set in his sight. Now the cross comes flying by. He found Mitro in open space. He found Mitro in open space. He found Mitro in open space. He found Mitro in open space.
Charlie, as you're here, you might as well give it a rating.
I like it because it's true. He's often in open space. It makes sense. I'd give it, that's an 8 for me. Yeah, I really like that.
Okay. Do you want to hear We Dream of Reem as it's here and available?
No, go on.
Right.
No, let me off this stage.
Why did I ever sign up to do this?
You've used your hour. Yeah. Get out.
Yeah. Call my agent. Right. This is from Ishan Mahabir to the famous I Dreamed a Dream from Les Mis.
We dream of Reem, oh what a guy. He's gonna bring us all the glory. We dream of Reem and it's alright.
We kind of like you're from Missouri.
Oh, that is beautiful. I'm sorry.
You're 34, still going strong. You are the pride of Fulham fandom.
Amazing.
We know Fulham's where you belong. So I guess we'll overlook the man bun.
Oh, wow.
Ishan.
I'm sorry, but...
Yes.
When we get the open top parade, when we win the league,
yeah.
Do you think we'll get one? We will, won't we?
Yeah.
I just want Tim Ream in like a white cloak, like a white Jesus robe. Takes a hairband out, hair down to his nipples, and he's just singing that song with a single spotlight on top of the bus, and it would just be the most beautiful thing of all time. In Putney High Street.
Charlie, if you had to give a winner out of Metro and Open Space and We Dream of Ream, we'll send them a trophy.
I do love Dream of Ream. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry.
I just want a chorus. I want them to keep going.
Yeah, Ishan,
you
send
can't
us
stop
a chorus.
At that point.
No.
That's when it gets exciting.
Look, Ishan is a content man. He knows he's keeping you coming back for more.
No, I'm back. I'm back, baby.
A full music video, please, Ishan. And that is it for the live This Will Catch On at the Half Moon Putney. Please stand my guest, Charlie Cooper.
Thank you.
Dom Betts. Jack Collins. I've been your host, Sammy James. Thank you all very much for coming.
Tosin Adarabayo, Adarabayo, the cottager's king.